Shalom and Yeshua. This is Rabbeen Deborah Brandt, and I am recording the teaching that we did last week as we're continuing to look at the book of James, or his Hebrew name, Yaakov. Again, there is a lot of wisdom in these chapters that we need to take hold of for today. So we're going to be looking at James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Again, we had some recording issues last week, so I have to re-record what I shared last week. So it may come out a little bit different, but we want to continue. I want to make sure that you all have the recording for this as well. Alvina McCain, our Father, King Father, I thank you that you speak through my lips, anoint my lips. I take hold of your wisdom, Father, as we're studying wisdom in your word through the apostle Yaakov or James. Father, I thank you that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive what your word is speaking to our hearts today. In Yeshua's name, amen. So James is addressing, again, this letter to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, some of who were going through hard times, and he was encouraging them to receive God's wisdom and to take hold of their faith in him. And again, it's a letter of encouragement and correction as well. I'm reading from the Tree of Life, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach, and it will be given to him. A couple extra scriptures I quoted from last week was Isaiah 33, verse 6, which says, it will be your time of faithfulness, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of Adonai is his treasure. So again, the fear of Adonai goes along with obtaining wisdom. So I just want to pull up what that Hebrew word is used in this verse regarding fear. I was looking at it the other day, and it's the Hebrew word yirah, a feminine noun meaning fear. The word usually refers to the fear of God and is viewed as a positive quality. This fear acknowledges God's good intentions. Exodus 20:20. It will motivate and delight even the Messiah, Isaiah 11:2-3. This fear is produced by God's word, Psalm 119:38 and Proverbs 2, and makes a person receptive to wisdom and knowledge, Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10. It is even identified with wisdom, Job 28:28 and Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord may be lost by despair of one's own situation, Job 6:14, or envy of a sinner's, Proverbs 23:17. Proverbs 23:17 says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but in the fear of the Lord, or Yahweh, always. The fear restrains people from sin. In Genesis 20:11, Abraham said, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Again, the situation where, again, Abraham was fearing what man would do to him because they did not fear God. It also gives confidence. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. It helps rulers and causes judges to act justly. It results in good sleep. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. It leads to humility, leads to riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 22:4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. The word also refers to the fear of briars and thorns, again, in the natural, and the fear of Israel that would fall on other nations. regarding this Isaiah 7:25, fear of briars and thorns. As for all the hills which used to be cultivated with the hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns, but they will become a place for pasturing oxen and for sheep and to trample. So again, looking forward to, again, that's a natural fear, but Isaiah is pointing out in the end, God is going to take away those briars and thorns and make it a fruitful place for us. So here Yaakov is encouraging the people of God, again, the 12 tribes scattered abroad, which we see in Acts chapter 1 and 2, those that were there at Shavuot were from every land outside of the land of Israel. Wisdom in James reflects Tanakh notions that wisdom is a practical gift from God that benefits its bearer in living in this world. As in the Tanakh, James distinguishes between divine wisdom and earthly wisdom in James 3:13-17, and we will look at that when we get to that section. The sentiments of James 3:13 adhere closely to the fundamental identification of wisdom in the Tanakh as obedience to God's commands, Deuteronomy 4:6. So let's just look at that verse real quick. You must keep and do them. Let's begin with verse 5. See, just as Adonai, my God, commanded me, I have taught you statutes and ordinances to do in the land that you are about to enter to possess. You must keep and do them, for it is your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Let's go on to James. I'm going to read James verse 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. So we see in verses 5 to 8 that this is, again, regarding wisdom for God, for trials. Believers are to have an undivided faith, asking for wisdom from their ever-wise and all-generous God. Again, we are going to face tests and trials living in this world because it's a sinful world that is primarily against God, you know, versus the believers who trust in God. There will be persecution. There will be tests and trials. You know, the enemy would just love to trip us up. But when we come to those situations, we have this gift of wisdom that we can receive from the Father. But we must ask for that gift of wisdom, trusting Him in faith that we are going to receive it and we will know what to do in any given situation. Verse 5, James addresses the believer who lacks wisdom in handling trials. Wisdom is in the Tanakh is a God-given and God-centered discernment regarding the practical issues in life. Wisdom comes from prayer for God's help. God gives generously with single-minded liberality and without reproach. He does not want anyone to hesitate to come to Him. Verse 6, he brings up again, Yaakov says, but let him ask in faith. I go, if you want to receive this wisdom, you have to believe that you are going to receive that wisdom, which is a settled trust and confidence in God based on His character and promises as revealed in Scriptures. Again, Hebrews 11:1. So let's just look at that real quick. Okay, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of realities not seen. Where the word doubting means facilitating between trusting God and trusting the world or our own natural abilities. You know, a lot of times, you know, I know I've been guilty of this too. So, well, what can I do? How can I get myself out of this situation? You know, what natural answers are there out there? But we are to go to the Father when it comes to wisdom, because His wisdom is perfect, and it'll be perfect for any situation that we find ourselves in. Again, talking about a double-minded person, this makes a person like a wave of the sea, a picture of instability and uncertainty. Verses 7 to 8, a person who doubts God's goodness dishonors him. Such a person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he is unsure whether God is good or will do good. He is a double-minded man, that is, in two minds, torn between God and the world, and is therefore unstable in all his ways. Again, that's the battle we have in our mind and our thinking and those thoughts, you know, the enemy tries to bring to us. Well, God's not going to answer your prayers. You're not good enough. You know, you blew it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he is a liar, and that's where we need to stand on his word, stand on his truth, the word of God. And if we need to repent, then we need to repent to get ourselves back into right relationship to receive the answers that we need. The word wisdom in the Tanakh, wisdom encompasses a range of differing but related ideas in the Tanakh. It is also viewed both positively and negatively, particularly outside the book of Proverbs. In the Tanakh, we first encounter how wisdom can be used negatively in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent is described as crafty, which is the Hebrew word arum, a common wisdom term. Additionally, in this scene, the forbidden fruit is associated with knowledge, and the woman believes it'll make them wise. So here again, thinking that God has withheld wisdom from them, which he has not. So the enemy, again, perverting the truth. We also find that wisdom can be used negatively in the scene of the rape of Tamar, 2 Samuel 13, and even Solomon's wisdom is tainted by the negative aspects of his reign, 1 Kings 11. The prophets are consistently critical of the wisdom of royal advisors, whom they frequently opposed in advising the king, depicting them as deluded and accusing them of lying. For example, Isaiah 47:10 and Jeremiah 8:8-9. The book of Job also presents how wisdom can be used negatively by associating it with the rigid arguments of Job's friends, who seek to apply their wisdom to Job's circumstances. In contrast, the Bible also presents wisdom in a positive light when it is attributed to God directly. So we're going to look at some of these scriptures in the book of Psalms. So let me just get over there. We'll look at Psalm 19, verse 7. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 1 because this is just about the beauty of the law, the Torah. For the music director, Psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky shows his handiwork. Day to day they speak, night to night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech, no words, where their voice goes unheard. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In the heavens he pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out from his bridal chamber. It is like a strong man rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Adonai is trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of Adonai are right, giving joy to the heart. The mitzvot of Adonai are pure, giving light to the eyes. Again, light, receiving revelation, wisdom, knowing what to do. Psalm 51, verse 8 in the Hebrew edition. In the other translations, it's verse 6, but this is verse 8. Surely you desire truth in the inner being. Make me know wisdom inwardly. So that wisdom comes from within, from the Ruach, from the Spirit. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of Adonai is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding, and his praise endures forever. Again, we read the Hebrew from the concordance of, for that word. And again, that word for fear is Hebrew Strong's number H3374. And what I had read before was from the Hebrew word study. Psalm 119, which I love Psalm 119, verse 98. So let's get down to there, verse 98. Your mitzvot make me wiser than my enemies, for they are mine forever. So again, his Torah, his teachings and instructions, make us wiser than our enemies, make us wiser than HaSatan's lies. So again, in contrast, the Bible also presents wisdom in a positive light when it is attributed to God directly or when it is derived from Him. This wisdom is not associated with the professional class of sages, some of which were condemned, but is predicated upon obedience to God's law or attributed to receiving prophetic revelation. The key feature distinguishing biblical wisdom from its ancient Near Eastern counterparts is the foundational function of the fear of Yahweh. And actually, Proverbs, all these scriptures I'm going to be reading are from Proverbs. So we're going to go to 1 Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The fear of Adonai is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Why? Because they don't fear Adonai. Verse 29. Because they hated knowledge. Well, let's go up a verse. Verse 28. Then they will cry out to me, but I will not answer. They will earnestly seek me, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Adonai. So that type of person is not going to receive answers to their prayers because of they have no fear of Adonai. Proverbs 2, verse 5. Then you will know the fear of Adonai and discover the knowledge of God. For Adonai gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 8:13. To fear Adonai is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and a perverse mouth. Counsel and sound wisdom are mine. I have understanding and power. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Again, the verses may be a little different depending on the translation, but this is Tree of Life, so they go with the Hebrew translation order. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of Adonai is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Of the Holy One is understanding. Again, this is a positive fear. It's a deep awe and respect for who He is. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of Adonai prolongs life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Then Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of Adonai, one has strong confidence. It will be a refuge for his children. The fear of Adonai is a fountain of life, turning one from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16, and then verse 33. Better is little with the fear of Adonai than great wealth with turmoil. And then verse 33. The fear of Adonai is the discipline of wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth is iniquity atoned, and by the fear of Adonai one avoids evil. Then 19:23. The fear of Adonai leads to life, and he who has its rest satisfied, untouched by harm. And then Proverbs 22, verse 4. The reward of humility and the fear of Adonai is riches, honor, and life. And then 23:17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be in the fear of Adonai. Although fear of the gods was present throughout the ancient world, and we're talking about false gods who are actually demonic forces, only in Israel is there a consistent link between wisdom and the fear of God. Compare, I'm sorry, it's just a reference there. This fear is not to be understood as blind terror, nor is it to be reduced to mere reverence or respect. The wise person who fears God recognizes that the universe is not slavishly subject to moral rules that yield predictable results, but instead it is ultimately in the hands of a loving, just, and purposeful God. Wisdom is guidance for life. The Tanakh identifies the ability to reach informed intellectual decisions as a form of wisdom. In this case, wisdom refers to the ability to make the decision that leads to the best possible outcome. An example of this type of wisdom is 1 Kings 3, 16-28, where Solomon must discern the true mother of an infant. Most of the wisdom recorded in the Bible is associated with this form of wisdom. For example, the material in Proverbs is designed to guide readers in making good choices when faced with various conundrums. Or again, you know, situations or where, again, we need, you know, to know what to do. It could be whether you should take this job, whether you should buy this house, whether you should marry this particular person. What has God called you to do? We need His wisdom in every area of our life. Wisdom in the New Testament. Although wisdom is less prominent in the New Testament, it occupies a significant place in the teachings and persons of Yeshua. Of course it would, because they taught from the Tanakh. The Tanakh was their Bible. The New Testament had not been canonized yet. The Tanakh was, again, the word that the apostles followed, that Yeshua followed, that all the early believers followed. And the New Testament or apostolic scriptures are based upon knowledge of those scriptures. So they were very familiar with the wisdom writings and the wisdom of God and how to walk in the wisdom of God. Yeshua and wisdom. The New Testament presents Yeshua as a teacher. Also, actually, at his first coming, he functioned as prophet. Now in the heavenlies, he is functioning as priest, and in his return, he will function as king. So he fulfills all three of those roles: prophet, priest, and king, a role often associated with the wise in the ancient world. Again, the Hebrew term for teacher is rabbi. This connection is apparent in Yeshua's use of parables to instruct. Again, parables were a very ancient way of teaching. Teaching methods also used by sages. We see that in Proverbs 1:2-7. However, there is far more to Yeshua's teaching than simply the adoption of wisdom forms, which prophets in the Tanakh times also used to convey their message. The context of Yeshua's teaching is not constrained to wisdom by his use of parables. It is also prophetic and priestly. Again, everything Yeshua taught had a point. And to those who were wise, those who walked in the fear of God, those who were looking for Messiah, believed that Yeshua was and is the Messiah, received the wisdom of the parables he taught. Those that didn't, it says that they didn't understand. Let him ask in faith. Again, the previous week we talked about the faith definitions. So if we need wisdom, we are to ask in faith for the answer. Proverbs 2:1-10. My son, if you accept my words and treasure my mitzvot within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to discernment, yes, if you call out for insight, lifting up your voice for discernment, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will know the fear of Adonai and discover the knowledge of God. For Adonai gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the paths of justice and protects the ways of his kedoshim, or set apart ones, holy ones. Then you will discern what is right and just and fair, every good path. So we need wisdom to work with our discernment. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Asking is going before the Father in prayer for what you need. We are to pray in faith, and that's exactly what Yaakov was telling them. Ask the Father, asking, going before him in prayer to receive that wisdom you need to how to endure what you are going through. So how are we to pray for wisdom? Number one, we are to, Yeshua instructs us, we are to pray to the Father. John 16:23. In that day you will ask me nothing. Amen, amen, I tell you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So we are to approach the Father in the name of Yeshua, on the, using his authoritative name. Two, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, John 14:12-15. Amen, amen, I tell you, he who puts his trust in me, the works that I do, he will do, and greater than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. That's a powerful promise he has given to us as believers. And whatever you ask in my name, the name Yeshua HaMashiach, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, everything we do, we need to do just as Yeshua did, for the glory of God and to glorify Yeshua. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So if we are asking him, the Father, for wisdom in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, he will do it. He will give it to us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So again, here again, we see the fear of God, because if we fear God, we are going to keep his commandments, just as Yeshua taught. Three, by the Ruach HaKodesh, Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Ruach helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. So again, praying in the Spirit is another aspect of receiving, again, that wisdom that we need. Four, with full understanding of our rights and privileges, Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness, so we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need. So because we are in Messiah and he is in us, and we have put our faith in him, we can boldly come before the very throne of God, the very throne of grace, with boldness. Again, not arrogance, but confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need. Five, in harmony with the word, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Again, if we abide in Messiah and our words, his words abide in us, what, you know, when we pray, we're going to pray according to the will of God, and then it'll be done for us. Again, Yeshua is not saying, well, anything you want, you know, you'll get. No, it has to be based upon our abiding in him and his words abiding in us, so that we're asking, again, in agreement with the word and God's perfect will. Number six, in faith, nothing doubting. Again, which we are looking at today, James 1:6. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Number seven, with praise for the answer, Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. You know, we even need that wisdom when we listen to teachings of, you know, again, because there's thousands upon thousands of teachings on the internet. And we need his wisdom to know if this person is speaking truth. Is he speaking, or she, in line with the word of God? Because there's a lot of deceivers out there. So we know his wisdom regarding studying. That's why we need to know the word of God. We need to walk in the gifts. And one of the gifts of the Ruach is that gift of wisdom. Again, that word for wavering is a Greek word, diakrino, and it means doubting or staggering. He that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. He who doubts is like a wave that is rising one moment and sinking the next. One minute he believes, another he does not. He says yes and then no to what God has promised, never making up his mind which way he believes. He staggers like a drunken man, helpless to pray. Again, that word doubting is again referring to wavering, you know, again, being tossed to and fro. Matthew 21:21-22, Yeshua answered them, "Amen, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt or waver, not only will you do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, trusting, you shall receive." Mark 11:22-25, and Yeshua answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Amen, I tell you, if someone says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but trusts that what he says is happening, so shall it be for him." "For this reason I say to you, whatever you pray and ask, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your transgressions." Acts 10:19-20. "Now while Peter was mulling over the vision, the Ruach said to him, look here, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitating or without wavering, because I myself have sent them." Again, this was after Peter had the vision of clean versus unclean, and that he could go to the centurion and minister to him, because the centurion has been praying for, again, wisdom and to understand about Messiah. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of realities not seen." Romans 4:3. "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." So I just want to end with some Jewish thoughts on faith. One, without faith, there are no questions. Without faith, there are no answers. The Chofetz Chaim. Two, faith is not a series of theorems, but a way of life. Shmuel Hugo Bergman. Three, faith is the root and foundation of all holiness. Nachman of Breslov. Four, faith is the essence of Torah. Mivchar Hapanim. Five, there is no love without total faith. Noam Hamidot. Six, the righteous man shall live by his faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Seven, faith is beyond intelligence and perception. Shneur Zalman from the Tanya. Eight, there is nothing greater than faith, Mikfar Hapanim. And nine, no man is rewarded because God owes it to him, but God grants reward out of his grace, Moshe ben Ezra. So again, these were rabbinical teachers. They're teaching, again, Torah principles, Tanakh principles, and you see Tanakh principles are very, very much founded on faith. It's not something that all of a sudden, you know, was taught in the New Testament. The apostles had this Hebrew foundation. They always knew that it was by their faith is what pleased God. Again, going all the way back to Abraham. And that, again, faith is a very Jewish way of living. As, again, we're studying Yaakov. We're studying it from a Hebraic perspective. Again, knowing, again, Yaakov was brought up in Torah. He, again, all the apostles, they knew Torah. They knew the prophets. They knew, you know, the Psalms and the Proverbs. And Yeshua gave them even greater understanding of this, being that he is the living word of Yahweh Elohim. So there again, going back to Yaakov, James 1, we'll just end with those verses again. let's begin with, we'll go from one all the way to eight, where we are stopping at this particular section, and then next week we'll begin with Yaakov 1 verse 9. Again, Yaakov, or Jacob, a slave of God and of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, to the 12 tribes and the diaspora, shalom. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So again, we don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to be unstable. And what gives us stability is studying his word, spending time with him in prayer and worship, trusting him, keeping a record of all those times that he has helped us, he has blessed us, being thankful for everything that he's giving us, being thankful for the answer even before that we have it. Again, we are in so need of wisdom in the days we are living in, especially with all the deception that is going on in the world, that is trying to sway believers from the truth. And many believers are being sucked into these lies because they're not students of the word. We need to be students of the word. We need to be students of Messiah. We need to, again, study these scriptures verse by verse. That's why I love going through entire books, so we're getting the whole study in context. And that's what we're doing with the book of Yaakov, or Jacob, again, which is his Hebrew name. Elvino Mokeno, our Father, our King. Father, I thank you for your holy Kadosh word, Father. I thank you, Father, that that word is being burned within our hearts, Father. I thank you that when we come up against any situation where we need wisdom, we just ask of you, and you give us that wisdom in our Ruach, and that we know what to do in any given situation, Father, whether it's, regarding who to marry, what job to take, what you've called us to do, where you want us to live, what you've called us to do, Father. We just thank you that that wisdom is there, that peace, that shalom, Father, that is within our hearts, Father, that we, Yeshua said, that my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I thank you that we are your sheep and we hear your voice. And your voice is your word. Your voice is the Ruach that you have given us. And we thank you, Father, that we are not, again, tossed like the waves back and forth, but we are firm in our faith, not wavering, not doubting, and receiving the wisdom we need for this day. In Yeshua's name, amen.